So what are the objectives of Varuna? Many people wanted to know what is Varuna trying to do, and I expect that in the subsequent discussion people want to have more information, more background. You can see for yourself the very core idea at the root of Varuna is to strive towards creating a system of no exchange of money. And later you will see that we had made a donation proposal which very clearly translated that into a system of contribution. But that has been later refined, and we go into this towards the end of the presentation. So the overriding principle is that of supporting the creation of an economy which is not relying on an exchange of money, but in the area where we want to be active is to use and work with renewable energy and to see that whether it is possible for a community like Auroville to be self-supporting with regards to energy consumption and leave a zero carbon footprint. So this is it. This is our first baby, and it was connected to the grid in the middle of September. Here you can see where it is actually located. Here's Pondicherry, and so here is the location of the wind generator. This is a Google Earth shot. And this is map-wise, you see where we are. Here is E-Road, here's Coimbatore, and this is where the generator is located. So this is a Google Earth shot of four wind generators. They are each one occupying roughly an area of about 2 to 3 acres. And they are being usually developed in clusters because the companies typically go out and acquire, secure the land, and then they go and develop a field for something like 50 to 100 wind generators. And they basically manufacture part of the wind generator nearby. They set up an interim factory. We see a bit more about that later. This is pretty much a similar view from the ground where you see the wind generators lined up. They do extensive surveys before committing to a site by trying to assess the exact optimal location for a particular wind generator. There are minimum distances, there is requirements about staggering. And we can see a little later that actually not all wind generators generate the same amount of energy. This is our plot. There's nothing on it when the Google Earth shot was taken. And this is how it looked in April 2009. We placed the order in February, and we were expecting to have an operating generator sometime at the end of April, but this is how it looked in April. Here you see some shots of how a windmill is being put together. It's quite amazing. If everything works the way it is scheduled, then a generator is put together in about a week's time. Actually, the record is about 3 to 4 days. These are huge concrete cylinders, and these are the wings. And here you can see how they are being put on top of each other. Then inside there are rods. There are steel rods, and on top they are screwed. So in order to create a very high tension in this structure. The height of the hub, which is where the generator itself is fixed, is 73 or 75 meters?
75 meters.
This is climbing up inside. Actually, when we visited, we wanted to go all the way up, but unfortunately, we weren't allowed to do so because they couldn't find the harness. And we said, but we can climb up, there's no problem. Well, the problem is what you see here. It's conical, and so you're going up and you're leaning backwards all the time. So the moment you get tired with your hands, you fall down 50 meters. So you're only allowed to go up if you wear a harness, which is tied in here in this rail. So the producer and the consumer have to be in the same state. It's interesting to have a wind generator in Rajasthan, but you cannot wheel energy from Rajasthan to Tamil Nadu. Secondly, all these rules are applicable for a limited type of company, an incorporated entity, and the recipients has to have equity of 26% or more. So the generator and the recipient have to be part of the same company. And the last problem is that typically, and this is meant, of course, for companies like Madras Cement, who use a lot of energy and who want to control the cost of energy. Because if they generate the energy, if Tamil Nadu Electricity Board increases the rates, this does not reflect on their cash flow because they generated in the first place. But all these regulations are designed to suit best the industry. And for that very reason, the recipient has to be a high-tension consumer. All our connections we enjoy here in Auroville are low-tension connections. So if we want to actually wheel energy to Auroville, then we have to do something like this. And now I'm a bit out of my depth, but I'll try, and then I hope that Pondoswami will chime in. What you see here is, of course, the familiar galaxy, ring road, etc. Here we see a circular underground proposed cable, and here it feeds from two sides from our supply lines. And by the way, there is right now some good news happening in the sense that we will be getting a second feed into the Auroville, the blue lines, which is our power system, which gives us some higher level of backup in case of failure. Typically, we get it from this side, which is the Trichy-Tambalam transformer side. It feeds and connects this way back in here. But with this new change, at least we'll have two options where the energy is being fed. But the idea which is reflected here in this design is that we would have various transformers. You see them here. And from there onwards, we would run our own grid. And then we would be able to talk to TNEB and say, you please deliver the electricity up to this point, and we adjust as per the applicable rules, and we redistribute it. For this to be possible, we need special permissions. But Auroville has a history of getting special allowances, and we are confident that the Tamil Nadu Electricity Board would consider this favorably, because our case is extremely unique. There's no comparable case whereby a precedent would be created where other people would come and say, me too. We hope that if the governing board will send a request to the Tamil Nadu Electricity Board to receive permission for being allowed to receive this donation in kind. We don't want to have this cash transaction. We would like to say we give so many units of electricity to Auroville, and then Auroville redistributes it. That is our next aim, to work together with the Working Committee, FAMC, and with the Foundation to draft and send requests to Tamil Nadu Electricity Board for obtaining permission for this mode of operation. So this is basically what we have been doing, and where we are trying to be, what we are trying to do. And with this, I close my presentation and hand it over to Karel and Rakal for questions. Thank you.
The first question was, what about the 26%? I think, Michael, could you explain the work we have been doing trying to make the foundation a shareholder in Varuna?
We have offered to the foundation that we donate to them an amount of money so they can purchase in Varuna 26% of the equity shares. And the foundation was very happy and tried, and we were looking with our auditors and all that whether it's possible. In the end, it came out that the rules within the foundation is operating do not allow that they become shareholders in outside companies, otherwise they would lose their income tax status and all that. So it's not possible that the Orville Foundation becomes a shareholder, but we wanted very much that it would be so, but technically or legally it's not possible. We have tried for months and months, and we even were ready to change our private limited into a company under Section 25, which basically is like a public charitable company, but nevertheless it just was not working out.
The second question, Michael, was about abuse of power.
Energy efficient consumers.
So the money should not go to, or the subsidy should not go to people who are not energy efficient.
That or as part of receiving at least the 100% subsidy, it should be mandatory or part of the plan for units to use it as wisely as possible.
Of course, that is a, it's a big point that if you want to make electricity a free commodity, now for only some units, but in general for every individual and for all the units, commercial or non-commercial, then there has to be a monitoring system and some instrument to prevent misuse or regulate it. Right now, in Orville, it is still the regulatory force of money which regulates everything. Like it's been decided, if you have a lot of money, you can run an air conditioner. If you have no money, you can't. So our idea is that when we wheel the energy into Orville, this system should not remain. It should not be decided whether the electricity which we wheel into Orville is used for an air condition if somebody has a lot of money and not for an air condition if somebody has no money, and similarly for the units. So we would propose that maybe those people who are interested in a money-free internal economy would come together and make proposals how to develop an instrument to substitute the regulatory force of money and install another system or whatever. Maybe it's not even required that first we only monitor it and see how it goes, and then we have to try to come away from one system and find another system.
Okay, let's make it clear here that when Michael talks about we, he doesn't talk about Varuna.
Yeah.
He talks about the community.
So it's up to the
what Varuna is doing is making a donation.
Right.
It's up to the community to decide how that donation is going to be used. I have here a clip. So it would interfere. So we, Varuna, is not doing anything on the allocation of the money. We have made a proposal, the proposal you have seen. This proposal was discussed with a subgroup of the BCC yesterday. It's up to the BCC to set up a subgroup to prevent abuse of power in the sense you just mentioned it, if the BCC accepts it. It's not our business. Yeah? And you had third question
about why Orville, which is depositing money with banks, could it not be used for the loan?
We have been thinking, if we can answer the question, about asking a loan from Orville. Technically speaking, we come again to the same kind of snacks, that Orville Foundation is a government institution and cannot give out commercial loans. So there, again, we are hanging against the same problem which we had on financing the windmill.
Thank you for your question. The first question was an observation.
in a sense, whether the Oroville Foundation can buy land outside Oroville. You're right, it can buy land outside Oroville, no question. It needs to ask permission. It is the permission which takes the time. As Michael explained, for the piece of land outside Oroville on the beach, which still after 1.5 years has not got the permissions. So that's the first question. The second question was, what happens after 15 years?
With the tax.
With the tax, if the company becomes taxable. We don't know. By that time, we hope we have all 5 windmills running and up, and some of those windmills will be taxable, some of the windmills probably won't, because it comes in a staggered thing. Uli, you could further reply?
I think there's a little misunderstanding regarding income tax exemptions. Today, Oroville has only an income tax exemptions for profits generated inside Oroville. Whether that is going to survive is doubtful. Oroville today cannot give a receipt for donations from the outside, which would exempt the donor from paying tax. So after 15 years, if Varuna would continue to make donations to Oroville, there is no, at present situation, question of income tax exempt receipts and so on. There is, you have ATG, which is so insignificant that it can be disregarded. And what we used to have was an exemption under Section 35. And this exemption we try to get back, and there Paul is correct. There are conditions attached to who can give these receipts. For instance, Matrimandia could, scientific research, CSR could. So, but we don't have it. And if we get it back, we may get it back with different conditions. And at that time, we will look at what needs to be done to manage tax liabilities. By taking more windmills in, you are creating, again, depreciation possibilities. So if you manage carefully, then the tax issues can be pretty much kept under control. The other point Paul was making, that this donation would create a dependency. And he has a very valid point. If Oroville is receiving today 30 lakhs, tomorrow 60 lakhs, and maybe in 5 years 2 crores, then, of course, if one day to the other this donation would stop, that would create a hole. We have had that experience in the past when the government, who was paying partly for our expenditure for maintenance, suddenly put this in suspense, and we had to find alternate ways to cover these budgets. So this is why Varuna is working very closely with the BCC, and this is why the BCC is looking very carefully how to actually manage this donation, that come no matter what, Oroville is able to cover its basic needs and will not become dependent on any single donor, whether it is Varuna or the government of India or whoever. That is unhealthy, and we are fully supportive of making sure that that doesn't happen. Let me add one more point. I haven't projected it because it's not easily clearly readable, but the Memorandum of Association and the Articles of Association, which, if people are interested, can be made available, very clearly define what are the objectives of Varuna. I started the presentation with summarizing those objectives. These are exactly in those terms, not with the same words because it's legal English, incorporated into these documents. And they are binding. You cannot suddenly not make Oroville your main purpose of association. And that is incorporated into those documents.
It's a public document. It is registered. You can't play around with it. So there is no question of deviating from what is set out very, very clearly in that document. So, I mean, the question of deviation from that doesn't arise. Of course, barring any unforeseen calamity. But I think I would like to reinforce what Karel said. Here we are talking about five Aurovillians who are doing this. And there is no question of deviating from the primary purpose. And it should stand.
Actually, we did have a group in operation, and the outcome of this group is the present electricity scheme. And Ponnuswamy was part of it, Alain Grand-Collard, there was Rishi from CSR, there was Carsten, there were a few other people who studied what could be done to reduce the exchange of money with regards to energy, and they came up with this scheme, which is in operation since at least, I think, 4 years, from 2004. And this group also had Rama as a member, who is the person looking after all solar installations and provides support. And we, at that time, had a budget from the central fund which was exceeding the actual expenditure for the various headings. And with this surplus, one-time expenditures were financed. And there were also solar chargers and panels for people who were really needy and couldn't afford it themselves. The sad part of it is that after operating for about 3 years, the existing people got a little bit exhausted and sort of stepped back and kept it running on autopilot. With this offer, there is maybe an incentive to look at this afresh and have a new group looking. That group not only could come up with proposals to encourage even more people who run on solar, but who also could look into the points which were mentioned in the beginning by Sunil, that excessive consumption should somehow be monitored. And there needs to be a system found which is along Auroville's ideals and where we don't replace money with some other kind of stick, which then effectively is just more cumbersome to use and doesn't achieve the purpose. So yes, we are very much open to consider various options and supporting sustainable setups like solar energy definitely is on our agenda.
Here you're trying to make a donor beneficiary equation, which is like whatever is your output, we have to take your output at a certain condition, which under the foundation law, TNEB and all that. What about a completely different equation? Go ahead with Varuna windmills, great idea, fantastic. Instead of saying we have to take it as a subsidy in electricity, take it as a subsidy in donation of cash that the community of Auroville decides how and where they put their money in terms of energy. Because there are two points here which Paul brought up and other people brought up, which is very disconcerting, is to have two essential public utilities tied up with a private holding, which no matter how well intentioned, with no matter what is the chair, the board of directors composed of, puts this community in a very uncomfortable situation. So Varuna windmills can feed the energy into the grid, and the subsidy that comes out of it is then in the hands of BCC to see whether they want to put it in TNEB, solar, or other decentralized forms of energy, or even in other kinds of development that would promote energy efficiency.
See, basically, we would prefer, and it has a very practical side effect also, we would prefer to wheel energy. That means there will be an account with the Tamil Nadu Electricity Board. We feed in so many kilowatt units every year, and Auroville takes out so many kilowatt units, and at the end of the year, the surplus what we have fed into that account will be paid to Varuna or Auroville or whatever. So actually, no electricity bill exists anymore after that. All these different tariffs, what we were seeing, that commercial is 6 rupees and residential 2 rupees and whatever, is wiped off. Afterwards, Auroville does not pay any electricity bill anymore. So something which comes without a tag of money on it, because when Varuna creates the energy, it also comes without money tag. The wind blows and then energy comes, it's free of money. Now, then somebody would have to sit and put a price tag on it and sell this energy again to consumers, which we feel is not according to the Orwell ideals. If it comes free of money, then we would not find it very interesting that it's again reincorporated into a money-making device and into a money-oriented society. But we would prefer to keep it out of that.
So a cine, suppose you give 30 lakh to the community instead of, and no, not make any specification. And the community says, thank you very much, we buy land with it. Or one of the other million priorities, like the library or whatever.
That's not what I'm saying, Harold. But you, what I'm saying is that two public utilities have tied up to the Varuna.
At this present moment, there's only a talk about giving 30 lakh. Wheeling is an ideal which we cannot manifest for two reasons. We have explained that. The main reason is that the relation between Varuna and the Orville Foundation is not one in which the foundation owns 26% minimum in Varuna, and they have explained that it cannot be done. The second reason being that we, Orville is not a high-tension consumer, and wheeling to low-tension consumers is not allowed. For that reason, you get the money. For that reason, we have said, as this money is generated by a windmill, as we want Orville to be electricity-friendly, no carbon footprint, all that kind of stuff, for that reason, we allocate this donation to energy. And we reduce the energy the energy bill of Orville. Uli.
I would go also to Lyle's argument. Orville would under no circumstances become dependent. It is not that we are replacing TNEB with Varuna and TNEB disconnects us and then you are at the mercy of Varuna. This is complete nonsense, but this was mentioned by some people. You still have TNEB giving you all the energy you want over and above what Varuna can generate. And if you don't like Varuna, you simply say, I don't want this deal anymore and I want TNEB to give me the electricity the way I like. The only point which is in the equation which is correct is that there is a donation coming into Auroville. And that donation, to a large extent, actually is in the hands and is being managed by the BCC. Because today, a large chunk of the electrical expenditure is routed via the BCC, whether it's the 10 lakhs or the 1.7 lakhs for the individuals, whether it's the public buildings, whether it's the light. This building here, all what we are consuming on electricity is showing up in one or the other BCC budget. So BCC has now the freedom to say, okay, Matrimandir, or say the schools, SIA budget, you spent out of your monthly budget, say 2 lakhs on electricity. We cut your budget and with that 2 lakhs we do this or that. Or this 1.7 lakhs which is going to the residency. We can say, fine, we do something else with it. We put it in water or we put it in an extension of the Crown Road. That is not conditioned by the donor. That is left to the community. The principal condition by the donor is that the donation should be tightly linked with creating a sustainable community which is trying to be carbon neutral. That is really a main objective, and that we want to do this trying to reduce the exchange of money in the process. We are all open, and you have seen the iterations from the first proposal to the next proposal, which is based on talks we had with BCC. So if there are any concrete suggestions, let's discuss it.
I would like to say big thank you for all of you by doing this work. It's a great project. It looks very promising. And of course, there is some risk, must be somewhere. It's not without that. But seeing this with a last ending, like free current for Auroville, and all this effort you do, and all the people are so competent. You see, I have a feeling like we are proposed the best chocolate ever, and we are considering to refuse it because we don't like wrapping and we don't like some plate on which is given to us. Who is here in this hall can propose something different, alternative to this, what we are giving? So this, I think we have to change attitude a bit, because it's just a gift. Then we have those five Eurovillians and one non-Eurovillian who are doing all their life, you know, for us something good. And we are not in position here to put conditions. We have to inquire. We have to know what happens. It's good for our education, at least, what is going on. But those people who take this over, they are really competent, and I trust very much what they are doing. They are sincere. It's just a grace. We will have this windmills, you know, and it is not how to share money afterwards. Everybody jump on this money. Let's buy another one and another one, and we have a free windmills. We have free current. Why don't you see? Just simply trust. That's my thank you to you all.
My question was a technical question, and that is, first of all, I understand that we would have to move from a low tension to a high tension grid. And I would like to know what is involved in that and what is the environmental impact, if you know of it. What is that? How is that going to be affected? I also understand that we are proposing a new grid, or whether we keep an existing grid. If we keep the existing grid, how then? And when you wheel in electricity from the wind generators, Varuna's wind generators, aren't the villagers and all the private housing plots that are coming up, aren't they going to also benefit from that? How does that work out? And then the third question around that would be, does it even make any sense if we decide to generate our electricity through wind to impose the solar electricity on the green belt? Because they can also be on the grid.
The last point I do not want to comment on. I think that is a discussion which we should see with the Greenbelt people. To explain actually what it means, it's not that you should get high tension supply at your residence at all. To give you an example, you have Sukhavati, a community which has a transformer next door. To that transformer, there are a number of communities connected, such as Arati and Invocation and so on. These communities are connected via underground cable paid for by Auroville. But the transformer is TNEB property. So in order to do wheeling, one could go to TNEB and say, can we buy your transformer? Or we could say, can we lease at a nominal cost your transformer? Or if none of that works, we'll have to buy our own transformer and connect to this transformer. So these are details which ideally we would like a situation where TNEB says all the transformers which are only supplying electricity to Auroville, and there are five transformers in Auroville where there is no village connection. These transformers we would like to enter into an agreement with you that we lease them. It's like Parambook almost, you know, we work out something. And then we would start the metering at the gate into that transformer. So this would be a matter of cost reduction. It would also then make, for instance, backup power more effective. Today you are not allowed to provide generator power or any other power source to more than one subscriber. You cannot have one generator with five subscribers. It's not allowed. But if you are a high tension consumer, then if TNEB, even if the wind blows but their grid goes down, there is no electricity, there is a possibility that we can then feed into our own grid and still have power. That would be permissible if all the low-tension connection would be up-converted into a single high-tension connection.
I would like to say that questions can be asked by email to varuna@auroville.org. Simple as that. We get it all. So if you have something you would like to communicate, please don't hesitate to do that. Who was next on the list, Don?
Nobody.
Nobody? Then I would like to close the meeting. Thank you for coming.